Welcome, everybody, to episode 401 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. The Frosty One himself, the Mug, is on assignment this week. Probably orgy number six. What are we up to, six guys on Mug?
We weren't counting.
I was counting.
Apparently. Me and Eric didn't want to know, but you've been counting.
All right, gents.
You're counting and wondering when you're going to get invited, aren't you?
Well.
This is the sixth time, still no invites.
Anything?
I'll remember this.
You know what? If it would have been you, Breakman, I'd say yes. But Mug? Hell no, man. What are you thinking? All right. What you guys been up to this week? Anything super special?
There was a week and it happened and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Eric?
I'll get into that with my stinkos.
All right. Well, we're going to have a little different format this week, guys. I'm going to be leaving about a half an hour because it's back to school night. Yay. Yeah, exactly. User 6813.
That's me. It wasn't letting me in the chat.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Well, user 6138. Oh, no. There you go.
Damn, you chat and you're not letting me in.
Yeah, I think you tweeted out already, Break, so yeah. No worries on that. We're going to do – I want to get to Freak5Chaos's comments on Twitter. He sent us a would you rather, so we're going to start with that, then maybe do some Stinkos, Sweetos, etc. So let's go ahead and start with that, Break, man. What do we got?
His would you rather, and I gotta find it. I wanted to thank everybody. We got a lot of congratulations on Twitter for the episode 400. Thank you, everyone. And where the hell is it?
I'm pretty sure it was countless thousands, right, Breakman?
Well, duh. Oh, he sent it to my other. No?
What the hell
is it?
I don't know. He said.
Why does my phone hate me? I'm gonna look. I gotta get on my computer. Twitter.
Okay, no worries.
Sorry, everyone. I blame Freak5. This is his fault.
Oh, God. MXT's in chat. He's already starting with the Canadian national anthem.
So no, I found it. Here it is. Sorry.
There we go.
Okay.
What up, MXT?
I just wasn't bringing it up. Okay. Ready for this one? Would you rather?
Yeah, I'm
would you rather have sex you hate with the or have sex with the person you hate? Find the most you wrote this wrong. Have sex you hate with the person you find most repulsive.
Okay,
but he means would you rather have sex with the person you find you hate and find the most repulsive, or watch the person you hate the most have sex with the person you love the most.
Ugh.
and your loved one enjoyed it.
Oh my God, this is awful. This is an awful question.
I'm going to hate fuck the shit out of the person I hate.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take that.
They are not touching Mrs. Breakman.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the next incident would be me going to prison for murder.
Yeah, that's a thing. Like yeah, Wibig's off limits, man. No matter how badly Freak 5 wants to have sex with Wifix, it's just not going to happen, man. I know.
That's what this is all about.
That's exactly what this is about. Because I told you
before that these would you rathers are just him living out his sordid fantasies vicariously through our hypotheticals.
Yeah, exactly. MXT says, I'd rather you all rise for the Canadian national anthem. What's up, guys? What's up, MXT? He seems to be the only one in chat. I don't know where.
He must be watching the Olympics.
Or a Suicide Squad and feeling depressed.
I know that's where Freak 5 is. He's watching that shitty movie. But anyway.
I'm not a big fan of the Olympics. I think it's just – when golf is an Olympic sport, come on.
I like the Olympics.
No, golf is already a worldwide sport. Why is it an Olympic event now?
Well, it's the spirit of Olympics, man. It's a world sport. It involves all countries, man.
But like, it's already like that.
Yeah, I know. But it only comes once every 4 years. God damn it! So, yeah, I'm not into
it. It's in a place that they probably shouldn't have had it because it has a lot of problems.
I like world records being broken, but I do not like jingoism. Like,
can we just watch race instead?
Yeah.
I mean, the Summer Olympics, I will say, are far superior to the winter, at least.
They got hockey, man. Hockey's all right.
Yeah, but they have a lot of figure skating. The Winter Olympics is mostly figure skating, as far as the television networks are concerned, anyways.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I'm not saying that's not an athletic thing, because there's no way in hell I could do any of that shit. I'm just saying, like, that's what dominates the Winter Olympics.
Oh, by far, the figure skating, for sure, man. There's no question, man. Especially when, like, back in the day with Tonya Harding and shit like that. Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that was – anything else we got on –
Are you going to hate fuck the shit out of Tonya Harding?
Yeah. Tonya Harding? No way, man.
Didn't she do porn at some point?
No, she did a porn with her husband at the time, but then she went on to do that world's dumbest thing, and she's like the stupidest person ever. Gripper just joined. What's up, Gripper? We were getting lonely, man. Thanks for joining. So, anything else on Twitter, Breakman?
Wasn't that enough? You guys didn't even – well, Eric actually didn't answer. We both answered.
Yeah, Eric didn't answer. You're not getting out of this, man. What do you say?
It's the same as you two. I wouldn't want someone I liked getting fucked by someone I hated.
Yeah, that's pretty easy, man. That's – because you could
– especially if they enjoyed it afterwards. Like, what the f- – oh. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Then sex with them is tainted.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that?
Like, you like that guy.
Can you imagine that, Breakman? Your worst enemy, like, shacks up with Mrs. Breakman, and you're like, and she gets out of it, and she's like glowing, like way more so
she's
than.
She's like, God damn, that was good. What the fuck is your problem?
Yeah, Gripper uh-huh. Gripper says the last Olympics was pretty awesome. I like the Olympics.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people like the Olympics. I'm not into it.
I mean, I like kind of the pageantry and stuff. I just don't like all the jingoism. Like, I like world records beaten, but I'm not into, like, oh, man, I hope the USA gets, you know, the most medals and all that shit.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, when I was really into the Olympics was back when the Dream Team was on.
Yeah.
They were amazing.
Yeah. MXT says, back in the 90s, Tonya Harding wanted to ride the MXT Express.
But she probably could have. All you had to do was offer.
Yeah. But I told her she didn't have a golden ticket for that train.
Oh, he turned her down. I got it. Yeah, that makes sense. Because from what I hear, like, you know.
Yeah.
You could have had some MXT.
Right. So,
because I'm an expert in Tonya Harding.
you've been there, done that, right? All right, let's
I broke them kneecaps. Woohoo.
Yeah. Let's anything else on Twitter? Any other?
No, just a bunch of thank yous and that.
Is it too long to list, or what are we doing?
Oh, you want me to list all the thank yous?
No,
okay.
No. I mean, look, if it's too long, like, I know we have thousands and thousands of adoring fans.
We have the elusive man.
Oh shit, Los. What's up, Los? Yeah.
Your wife.
Yep, with it.
Roxy thanked us. Yep, thanks. Roxy. Yeah, Roxy thanked us. Thank you, Roxy.
You know, I totally forgot to get Roxy on last week. My apologies, Roxy. Like anytime you want to be on the show, Roxy, feel free. But what else?
That's it.
That's it.
I know you're hoping for more.
Our legions of fans, man. That was something else.
We need a guest so that I could fill your slot when you leave.
Yeah, exactly. I don't leave that often, man. Like, today's a special occasion, but... All right, let's move on to Sweetos and Stinkos. Let's start. What do you guys want to start with, Sweetos or Stinkos? I'll leave it up to you, Eric. What do you want to start with?
Hold on. Sweetos, I guess. No, my Stinkos, because I want to talk about my Sweeto.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought we did Stinkos first.
Yeah, I was.
We changed the format. Or we got the 400, and then we just do whatever the fuck we want now. Is that what happens?
Exactly. All right, go ahead, Eric. What is your Stinko?
Stinko, I got a couple of them.
Yeah.
Over the course of the week, like, ever since Tuesday, some weird stuff has been going on. Like, I lost my internet connectivity. A couple hours on Tuesday, shit. And then Wednesday I lost power, so I went to my parents' house to do stuff because there was nothing around here and it was hot.
Yeah, wait till we get to my stinko. I'll talk
and
about
that. And on Thursday morning, I learned that we couldn't enter the building because there was a chemical spill and we had to wait for it to be cleaned up, so we walked around outside and cleaned up outside.
Yay. All right.
I had to pull weeds.
Oh shit! Wow. That sucks, man.
Sounds like it was about your time to start getting interested in Pokemon Go.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'd love to help you guys, but Pikachu's over there.
Yeah,
you didn't have to. You could have just attended.
Yeah, You're kind of breaking
Wait,
up.
Is that a flip phone? Yeah, it's the newest thing.
Yeah, exactly. Dungeon Buster says he saw Suicide Squad, and his first reaction was, really? Yeah. We're not. I don't think we're going to talk about Suicide Squad this week. We'll probably talk about it last week. I haven't had a chance to see it, but, man, the reviews are in, man. 27.
I wanted to talk about Beyond this week, but you're not even going to be here, so yeah, I shouldn't.
You could talk about it, man. I saw Beyond.
I forgot where I saw it, but I remember. I guess it was Comic-Con. They were showing off a bunch of videos of their latest DC projects and stuff like that, and the Suicide Squad one looked really bad to me.
Yeah, I wasn't. The only thing I was interested in on Suicide Squad was the Jared Leto's Joker. He looks pretty good. Like I'm warming up to that. That
Joker. I would say that like their previews did build up some interest for Wonder Woman for me.
Yeah.
But that was about it.
Wonder
like,
Woman looks good.
Like,
man.
As far as the movies are going, like,
Yeah. Wonder Woman looks good, man, for sure. Part of me wanted to call it Deadshot's Day Out, Dungeon Buster.
Well,
said,
yeah, so Will Smith's going to be in it. You know it's going to be heavily focused on him.
Of course. He's the one that makes the most money out of all those guys. So it has to be focused on him. Big egos need more screen time, you know. All right, Eric, did you finish your Stinko? Or did you even get into it?
Oh, yeah, there was one more.
Yeah, go for it.
The Pope said something. Hold on, let me bring it up. I wonder why we're doing this first. Because you're here, that's right, and you have to leave.
Yep.
But let's see, let me open it up. But this is from USAtoday.com. And... pretty much, this Pope saying it's terrible. Kids are taught that they can choose gender. This is Vatican City AP. Pope Francis has lamented that children are being taught at school that gender can be a choice, adding that his predecessor Benedict the 26th. No, that's 16th. That's right. Has labeled current times the epoch of sin against God the Creator, because God forbid kids. And science and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Just him being backwards like usual.
Always. I mean, that's pretty much Pope's galore, man. That's why I'm running for Pope next year, man. You knew this, though. You guys knew that. All right, Breakman, what about your Stinko of the week?
I actually have two Stinkos, too. Mine are
so fuck the Vatican and the Pope for being anti-science.
Yeah, exactly.
Any Catholic that claims that they're for science is a liar, because what they really mean is they're only for science when it benefits them.
Yeah, but that's a lot of people. Sad.
Yeah.
Sad but true.
Yeah.
Not to discredit what you're saying, because yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but them especially, more than anybody else.
All right, break.
So anyway, my Stinkos go to one. News came out earlier this week, and we were talking about the Olympics being a show, that Olympic coaches – apparently the Olympics are just as bad as the Catholic Church.
Uh-oh. I got to hear this.
The coaches for women – for girls' gymnastics, there's been a widespread like abusing girls.
The U.S. team, right?
Yes, the U.S. team. In fact, to the point where when they've gotten complaints and gotten fired, some of these guys have gotten hired right back on to molest again.
Oh, God.
I mean, I could go into the story, but I'm sure like it's big news right now. Everybody can go ahead and look that up. It's cringeworthy.
It's another
instance of sort of like Penn State, where this is let's protect the institution. The institution is more important than the people involved.
Yeah.
The institution is more important than the girls.
And it's also about making money and not sports at all.
Of course, of course.
Well, that's the thing with Olympics. There's not a lot of money in Olympics.
No.
Which is probably why they focus on it so much, because they don't make a whole lot to begin with.
Mm-hmm. I think all four of the people mentioned ended up in jail, but that didn't excuse the fact that they didn't act like – you know,
yeah, this has been going on since like what, the 80s, they said.
Yeah, that's terrible. That sucks. The Olympics. Well, let's see how that goes. Dungeon Buster goes. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So that's terrible news. And my other Stinko was shit. slipped my mind. I've been so busy.
Shit is always a stinko, man.
it goes to what has been reported. It's finally coming out, like Facebook videos of what happened actually. What actually happened at the DNC convention?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it was basically an attack on anybody who was a Bernie supporter. If you went to the DNC convention and you supported Bernie, you were basically Hitler.
I remember, but from the footage that I saw, and I admittedly didn't see a ton of that footage, Breakman. I remember the Bernie supporters being kind of bullshitty themselves.
See, that's the thing is, and they're showing video, like a lot of those like so-called Bernie supporters were fill-ins. Like this is part of the news report. They were bought by like higher-ups in DNC within Hillary's party to make Bernie look bad, to make Bernie supporters look bad.
Yeah. You know, I saw a documentary. It was about the legalization of drugs and basically like the drug war and stuff like that. I think it was called Culture High. And they talked a little bit about politics in there. And it basically broke it down. You know, it's all about lobbying in politics. That's what it's all about. That's why I like the Young Turks. They take too far of a left-leaning angle for my
MXC my says, oh, God, Bernie, he tapped out. Yes, he did. Tap out. He quit. He gave in.
Yeah.
And that was disappointing to a lot of supporters. But most of his supporters weren't really heard from on the floors because a lot of the delegates that for him, their credentials were being stripped throughout the convention to make sure that his support was very limited. People with signs supporting Bernie had them taken away, and if they refused to have them taken away, they were kicked out of the event.
Yeah, now that shit sucks. You know, there's no question.
This was a targeted attack on anybody not Hillary.
I think Dungeon Buster summed it up best right now. He says this election cycle is a mess,
and that on top of what we know about what the DNC was very biased and election fraud. I still think she didn't actually win.
Yeah,
I think if we redid the election and it was fair without voter fraud, I think he went in a landslide, in fact.
Yeah, I don't know about landslide because Hillary had a lot of money in that.
She does have a lot of money and she does have a lot of female support.
Gripper was asking who's
Bernie. Which is going to kill Donald Trump. I don't know. He doesn't have a chance in hell, and the more he talks,
Forever
he digs himself.
Breakman, I agree with you for the most part, but man, I don't know, dude. Like somehow, like I don't know if that it's just what happened previously with all how the nomination rang down. But man, I think Trump's gonna pull something out of his ass to win it, man. I don't know why I feel that way, and I hope it doesn't.
The only way I could see him suddenly winning is if the other emails from Hillary come out and there is some just completely damning information.
I asked Jason Venner if he wanted to join.
Okay, that's cool. I don't know how you'd get on the call unless he did it now, man.
But basically, it's
just look for him.
Yeah. And I had an argument on Twitter the other day with Bacon about like our voting and stuff like that. And my argument with him is our votes really just don't count.
I totally agree with that, Breakman. How many years have we been doing this show? And I've said it every year that I've been on this show. Our vote doesn't really matter. It's the Electoral College that matters. That's
the Electoral College, and then there's things like voter fraud, and then there's like Bush didn't win the original election. Gore won it, but he won the electrical. He won the electrical grid.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't I tell you that a long time ago, guys, about how bad the electoral system is? I think for the most part it's
just like
worked
the
out.
Super delegate system.
Yeah, they need to do away with that, man. They just need to go with some type of popular vote. Like
it needs to be the people's decision. Yeah, and like it or not, like Donald Trump was the people's decision, which is meh. But we should have another option, and the Democratic Party made sure we didn't get another choice. They chose who the leader was going to be for us.
You know what would be nice? If we could have the primaries the same way, right? But instead of choosing one, like Hillary and Donald, which both are fucking ridiculous choices, and you have to choose the lesser of two evils if you want anything, right?
I've argued against the lesser of two evils too when I think both people are evil, you know.
I agree, but I can't, dude. Trump, come on. I mean,
it's I know, but look. What I think is going to happen.
I don't know. He seems to be declining because of all the fail he's been doing lately.
Yeah, he opens his mouth and loses votes lately. Yeah. But what's going to happen with either one of these two is the same thing that's been happening for the last 8 years. The rich are going to get richer, the poor are going to get poorer, and the middle class is going to continually disappear.
Yeah, no, that's true.
At this rate, within 40 years, there's not going to be a middle class. It's just going to be the poor people and the rich people. We're going to be India.
Yeah. No, I think that sounds accurate, man. You know what we should do?
I've worked my whole fucking life. I've worked since I was like 8 years old, like mowing lawns and raking leaves and shit, to not be poor.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if this is the way it turns out, I might flip a lid. I'm just saying.
I might be the next crazy gunman. I honestly think. Well, you know, I don't think you would do that.
I don't have guns, so it'd be like crazy squirt guns.
Crazy samurai.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly think
I'm more of a squirt gun.
What about this? I'm a squirt gunner,
because like, what are they gonna do? Arrest me?
What about this?
What do I do? I got him wet.
Guys, what about this? All right, we do away with the two-party system, which basically divides the country in half, right?
Yes. Why not say,
look, there's no more two-party system. We're going to have primaries, right? And we're going to have the top five or six people. Those are the people that we're going to vote for come election day. And it doesn't matter if you're independent, if you're Green Party, if through those primaries, you become the top of the crop, like top 6%, based on fucking voting and not this bullshit delegate and all, you know, all this nonsense. Then we have a real voice at the end of it. You know, you can say, I want Bernie Sanders this time because he's got the right ideas, or I want fucking the crazy wacko Jill Stein, or I want you know, a libertarian or a Green Party or –
But the problem is the Republican Party and Democratic Party have set up this government in ways that make it almost impossible for a third party to get through.
I know. That's why I say we just do away with the fucking two-party system.
Well, how can we? Because the guys in charge
– Right.
And I say guys because it's mostly guys. Right. But mostly men. But – they won't allow it. They've set the rules in a way where they make it.
We need campaign finance reform, and to do that, I think we need to do something like Wolfpack, like
Young
Turks has been doing.
Yep. I think what the Young Turks are doing is super important and is kind of under the radar. They're doing that Wolfpack where they're trying to get money out of politics.
And they've been successful for many states. They've tried it.
Yeah, they've been fairly successful. So I think more. Super PACs like the Wolf Pack.
It's ridiculous to use money to get money out of politics, right. But what else are you going to do?
That's the only choice we got. I just hope Wolf Pack doesn't turn into another fucking wicked lobby, you know, that just dictates everything, man. That's the only hope, but whatever, man. It's the United States, or as what's his name, John Oliver calls it, the 2016 fucktacular
Frank, do you have
shit salad.
Venter on your list? You can add him out if you want.
I'm sure Venter's
on. He's only going to be around for a little bit, too.
Dungeon Buster sums it up.
We'll probably finish before that happens.
Yeah.
This year, we have a choice between predictable elitism or proven idiocy.
Yeah, no question, man. No fucking question. Where the fuck is Venter? Man, I've had Venter on here before, but he's just gonna have to put me on there, man. RP Grinders. That's the Skype handle.
I think I have him on my list, so I can add him.
Oh, here we go. I got him. Let me add Venter to the call. There we go. But anyways, no, it's bullshit, man. The politics here just suck. It's awful.
Yeah, which is another, like, the way the system's set up, just, and our votes really don't count. Like, I feel it's a total waste of my time to go out and vote.
Even picking lesser
of evils or whatever. Like, we can't win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can win less with Hillary, but, you know.
I don't believe that. I think it's going to be the same. These are two – they're both warmongers. Did you listen to the Democratic convention? Like the platform they ran on was almost the exact same platform that W ran on.
Yeah. No, I know, man.
That Hillary's running on almost the exact same platform as W. Right. Remember how much of a disaster he was.
Yeah, no question.
Like, these two people are going to be a complete and total disaster.
Yeah, not as much as Trump would be. I don't know.
Like, well, now that Trump's losing so badly, he probably doesn't have a chance of winning. I'll probably vote for a third party anyway.
Yeah. Looks like we got Jason on the line. Jason, what's up, man?
Hey, not a lot.
Glad you could join us, man.
We're talking about politics. We'll move on. It just makes us all upset.
Yeah.
We're doing news, and we haven't done any yet.
Yeah, we haven't done any because we're doing our stinkos of the week and our sweetos. My stinko this week is alternator went out on my car. But I guess if anything is going to go out in your car, the alternator is about the best thing that could go out in your car because it only costs like $220.
I was going to say because it's the cheapest thing you can go out in your car.
Definitely the cheapest, man. $220 to fix. That's my sweeto. So, hey, Jason, do you have anything that pissed you off this week or sucked?
My teeth are bothering me, so that's never good.
Oh, that's definitely a stinko, man.
Oh, man, that was my stinko. I just had 5 cavities filled and... Part of my mouth still fucking hurts, like every once in a while. Like I'm just sitting there eating and all of a sudden just starts throbbing. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster said he'd vote for a moderate Republican with good ideas, but they're all afraid of the Tea Party and the mob.
I want somebody who is money, like financially smart and also like socially sensitive.
Yeah.
You know, like – somebody who's not going to discriminate against people. Like, that's what the Republican Party basically wants to do for the most part. But then somebody who doesn't want to, like, just spend all their money on whatever they want to do, I'm not saying Republicans don't do that too, but I'm saying their philosophy. The Republican Party does not go by their philosophy.
No, I agree, Brakeman. I've talked about that several times on the show. If we went based on philosophy, I'd be a Republican. With some liberal ideas and some libertarian ideas. You know what I mean? But it's not that way.
That philosophy died like 50 years ago.
I think I would still be libertarian. I'm like, I want people to have their own rights. Do what you want without having somebody – having Big Brother telling you what to do.
I totally agree with that, but I don't like their stance on Social Security and some other things, man. Like
I wasn't saying I agree with their party. No, that's not what I said. Don't insinuate that, man. You'll make me cry.
All right, let's move on to sweetos. I mentioned $220 to fix my car. Jason, did you have anything that really made you happy this week?
No, it's not been a happy week overall. So
yeah, that sucks, man. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. We'll be talking some RPG news here in a second, so maybe that'll cheer you up. Eric, what about you, man? Any sweetos this week?
The week's finally over.
Yeah, for sure, man. What about you, Brakeman?
At work, my job can be boring and tedious, but the company I work for, they just do some awesome things sometimes. Like today, they just had a party. Like they're like, we know everybody's been really busy this summer, so we're throwing a party, and here's free beer. And they just happened to have some of my favorite beer there.
Yeah.
I was shocked when I saw that because usually, it's like Miller Lite and Yingling and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, those are all right, Those are the old standards. I can drink those, but I'd rather have like a Christian Moore. Oh my God, they have Christian Moore wine!
You know what, dude? I'm going to talk about alcohol next week, man. I found some interesting research on alcohol and drugs and other stuff, man. That's pretty interesting. I think you guys would like to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
Dude.
We've talked about drugs and alcohol before,
next week will be fun for that. All right. Let's see. Did anybody else? Eric, did you have a sweeto?
I just said I didn't really.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it only cost $220 to fix my car, which still sucks because I don't have the money for it. But, as far as car problems go, that's about as good as it gets. But all right, gents, I'm going to have to leave, but I will leave you guys to do the news and whatever other interesting topics.
Wow, Bill Clinton is Dr. Wiley.
Well, Dungeon Buster said he said Hillary's choosing to run again, doomed any Democratic candidate because no one could stand against her and her husband's mega machine.
No question.
Her husband has mega machines. I mean, that's Dr. Wiley, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, gents, have a good
and Dungeon Buster says,
Dr. Wiley did try to gain money to his Swish bank account.
Yeah, exactly.
For some unknown purpose,
apparently. Yeah. All right, gents. Yeah,
Bernie isn't a saint either, but he's not mired in a kind of controversies either candidate are. Right, exactly.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I've said about a billion times that I don't think Bernie's possible his platform and his what do you call him? I'm blanking right now, but his platform, basically what he wanted to do would work in America. I don't think it's feasible.
Yeah, I totally
agree. It's pie in the sky stuff that would be great, but I just don't think it'd work out. But I would have voted for him.
I would have voted for him
because I get the idea that he actually does care about the people who are less fortunate.
Yeah, I get that sense too, because he didn't want to take donations, and even though he did, but you know,
well, he didn't take the big donations like she did, the PAC, the super PAC donations.
Yeah, exactly.
Or no, not super PAC, because super PAC's what they get now.
The other big donations.
Yeah. So he wasn't taking those. And not only that, but he also seemed like the most honest of all the candidates, too. Yeah. And that's really what I want the most, is somebody who's fucking honest.
Yep. Real quickly.
And we have never had that.
Yeah. Real quickly before I go, guys, my quick plugs before I go. Star Trek Beyond, I saw it. It's awesome. I thought it was awesome. Let's see what else. Make sure on Netflix you check out this show called or movie called. It's a documentary called High Stakes. I can't fucking remember right now. I mentioned it earlier.
How to Get Super High?
No. It's a documentary on the drug war and marijuana and
How High, like starring Method Man and
Redman. No, but it does have
probably on there though.
Does have Snoop Dogg in it? Snoop Dogg and Be Real from Cypress Hill, a bunch of academia people, you know, people from Harvard. I mean, it's just real good to watch, man. I highly recommend. People watch it. It's like I think it's like High Stakes or I don't know.
You highly recommend it.
All right, Boo just joined chat. What's up, Boo? Later, Boo. All right, guys, have a good show. I'll maybe be in on the end of the show, but have a good show, guys.
Ooh, teasing us. All right, well, I guess we must go ahead and get into the news since it's 7:30 and we haven't read it. I'll go ahead and read a first story, Eric, if you don't mind. Coming to us live from Gamatsu, Stein's. What's a semicolon? Gate coming to iOS in English September. That's it. That's the whole article. What the fuck? Come on, Sue. What the fuck?
By early September, I'm guessing it's the first week of September.
Yeah, it doesn't give a specific date, but like the headline is the whole story. Like, what the hell? You guys
Well, it's an announcement, so let's just get on with it.
Were they purchased by Silicon Era? Is that what happened?
No. if that's all the press release gives them, that's all the press release gives them.
Okay. You give them the benefit of the doubt. I go right in them being mean. Okay. It's cool.
And the next article is from Silicon Era. And it's about the next Sakura game called Sakura Shrine Girls. And, well, that's pretty much it. It says, life gets a little bit different for priest and training Toru when a pair of cat girls appear in Sakura Shrine Girls and hijinks ensue. And it's going to probably be average or less, because that's typically how the Sakura games run out. And in addition, I didn't get a news article for it, but there's also going to be Sakura Space Station, which is basically the same thing, but in space! So, if you like the soccer games, then why would you? I only mildly enjoyed them. But
isn't there Sakura Santa?
Yeah.
Sakura Santa?
Mm-hmm. Christmas themed.
Well, I get rid of that part, but good God.
And Santa's like actually a girl. Well, she's one of many Santas of the Santa family.
Let's just move on. Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Blue Blood Lagoon is a romance story set in a Chinese Civil War. Okay, that's interesting. A young man flees a Chinese Civil War in visual novel Blue Blood Lagoon, making friends in his shared struggles with the other refugees. In 1949, Yin Xiao Thing, Southing,
Fuang.
Sao Fuang finds himself separated from his family as he escapes the war with the other students of Shandong. I like that name, heading toward the island of Pinghu. Yeah. During this flight, he meets a pair of young women.
Tang Shin and Sun Yi Fang.
Thank you. Yeah, his time split with them will take him away from his fears and loneliness as a romance blooms between them, all three of them. Okay, I like where this is going. 10 different endings await players in the English translation. And there's a demo on Greenlight's
page. It's basically like every other high school visual novel dating sim type game, but it's in China.
Okay, well, there you go. Let's move on.
Well, that might provide a unique perspective because China had a very different environment, especially during that period of history.
Oh, I just want to see if the three-way will happen, you know, if you're romancing them both, you know. Mm. You know, talk them in together. Like, there's no reason you women have to fight over me.
I'm guessing the blue blood part means that you're dealing with rich people.
I didn't even think of that. You're probably right.
That or they drank a lot of blueberry juice.
They got very stained teeth.
So if you want to see this, go vote for it on Greenlight. But with that, we got from Silly String Era, Glory by Example, live through a story of a survivor on a plague-ridden world. So Eleanor is one of the last survivors of a worldwide plague and massive flooding, but soon finds the virus coming for her in Glory by Example. She had to do some terrible things to survive in this world and may have to do many more for the player to reach the game's multiple endings, which are based on their actions. Glory by Example features no combat, but there are many secrets that the player can uncover depending on how they work through the game's story.
This game sounds horrifying.
Yeah, it sounds like they're trying to go for a Corpse Party-like feel.
Jeez, everybody's dying around you and you gotta to worry about not getting sick? Like, right after the world flooded and God knows how many people died when the flood happened? Like, what the hell? This is not a nice place to be.
It says it's going to release in August. It doesn't have a window, but you can vote for it on Greenlight so it can get a Steam release. So that means it's probably on itch.io if you want to get it right now. But, sounds interesting.
Yeah, that sounds like fucking messed up to me. Anyway, coming to us live from Gamatsu, Ray Gigant coming to PC via Steam on August 10th. Yeah, Ray Gigant, which launched
I was going to say that's pretty much it, but in case people didn't know, you could probably read a little bit of the overview.
I'll read the overview, yeah. Overview. Why did I say that? God knows. Ray Gigant is a unique dungeon crawler RPG which combines dungeon crawling adventure with Japanese visual novel-like storytelling. That does sound interesting. Players will first be introduced to the gripping tale of Ichiya, who is a young fighter shrouded in mystery. You didn't correct me?
No, because you got that right.
Nice. As the story progresses, the player will be introduced to new characters which you later get to experience as the main character. There are a total of three different tales told in the perspective of Chia, Kyle, and Nil.
The story isn't particularly engaging, but the gameplay... I mean, I guess the story is better than the gameplay, but the fact... I mean, because most experience games typically don't concentrate on a story. The fact that they even did one in the first place is kind of interesting on its own, though. But the gameplay is a little on the easy side, so it's a good dungeon crawler for newbies.
Or people who suck at gaming like Frank. Oh, damn it, Frank, why aren't you here so we could recommend this for you?
Don't worry, I suck at games.
All right, we recommend this to you, Jason.
Yeah, you don't really level up in the game. You get items that let you level up. It's like you'll level up your stats or you'll earn skills and unlock weapons and items. Man, the items kind of work like an infinite consumable considering whether or not you have the AP to use them. And then there's also this mechanic called parasitism where the parasites that give you the powers that you have will go haywire and... and every action you take will consume HP. And then you have to keep yourself alive by using health items and alternating between that and being conservative, and the only way to get out of it is to use slash beat mode, pretty much, or in the battle. And slash beat mode is kind of like the rhythm game mini game that you played in order to do lots of damage on the enemy. It's kind of like a super attack.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, that actually does sound kind of interesting, and it looks pretty. But you want to read the next story?
Yeah. Next story is the Legend of Miro trailer shows a programmer trying to survive in the wilds. Programmer finds himself lost in new land, but by taking up farming, mining, and fishing, he'll be able to make a new life for himself in Legend of Miro. This new trailer shows off a bit of the logic puzzles, mini games the lost programmer will have to deal or play in order to tend to his crops and raise his animals. So it's a little bit like Harvest Moon, but you get to fight things too, I guess.
So like Rune Factory.
Yeah, but not heavily action RPG. It's probably a lot more tame than that. The problem I had with Rune Factory is that the combat itself doesn't feel all that great. So hopefully this is a little slower paced.
I don't know. The visuals to it don't look too good, but yeah. I don't know. I don't want to judge a game on its visuals, because there are a lot of ugly games that are amazing. A lot of fun. Unlike Frank, because he's judgmental. Damn it, Frank, why aren't you here? Anyway. I guess I'll read the next story coming to us live from Silicon Era. I'm not going to read your title. Oh, wait. Did they not mention the title right away? Okay. Exercise Ghosts at the End of the World, an action RPG Lonely Star. A terrible star has appeared, one that heralds a battle against the ghosts of the past. A spiritual warrior has no choice but to fight back, exercising them while trying to survive and find a place in the strange world of action RPG Lonely Star. Lonely Star's open world is filled with phantoms seeking prey or trying to recapture the meaning of their lost lives. What prey? They eat? They're ghosts. Slimer tried eating. You saw what happened. The food just fell right through him. Like, Jesus.
Maybe they eat energy.
Maybe. The player's job is to exercise them through combat, attacking with swords and sorcery, and top-down combat. Stealth is also an option, giving players a chance to survive their ghostly enemies. What's stealth have to do with this? Don't get him into this. It will become very useful as the player is often outnumbered throughout the game. No. Bad joke. I'm sorry. Corn is an extremely useful tool throughout the player's journey. Certain types
of wild corn CDs.
No Nickelback.
Why would you bring Nickelback into the conversation, man? What? You're a guest, so I'm going to be nice, but why? Why would you do this to us? Corn is an extremely useful tool throughout the player's journey. Certain types possess magical properties that will let the player use obscuring smoke or light fires to keep foes at bay. See, I think about that skit from South Park where the corn was on it and they turned into like popcorn and shit like that. Corn will also fuel the player's health and can be planted and grown in safe places to ensure the player stays in good shape. The player wants to be healthy as the life energy is also needed for the game's crafting system. What? You have to use your life to craft? Jesus. Players can also track and hunt animals or find edible plants to increase their energy. Yeah, there's more shit. I don't know. Lonely Star's world is a bizarre landscape of modern fantasy interwoven with real history. It is filled with an array of characters, some of whom have accepted Star's arrival and others who are facing life in the world in their own ways. This is a Kickstarter game. I don't know. It doesn't look good. But like I said, I don't want to judge a game by its aesthetics. I don't know. The game didn't sound really interesting to me, but I'm just a meanie. Anyway, you want to read the next story?
And the next story is from Silicon Era again. But we've got Square Enix officially announcing Comet Surya, a mobile game with a theme of gods and fishing.
What?
Yeah, it says here that while much is not currently known about the gameplay, it says the name Comet Surya roughly translates to god fishing. You can get a glimpse of it in the recent trailer, which we can't play on air. So it says the story is supposed to be said It is said to be about the waves, light, and the calm darkness that interweaves countless cuts in a dramatic RPG. I wonder if it's kind of going to be like Legend of River King, and you catch fish to save the planet or something. I don't know.
I don't know what they're going to come up with that for that. That's interesting.
But it's a mobile title, so I almost don't care. Because I don't have a smartphone yet.
Yeah. And I don't care because I'm playing. I'm too busy playing.
And there's no word on localization anyway, so.
Mm. Speaking of no word on localization, coming to us live from Silicon Era, Dragon Quest, I'm going to call it X because that makes people mad, is marching its way to China. Yeah, again, not coming to America, coming to China.
If you don't want canon as a numerical title, then you could say X.
Yeah. So that's the whole fucking story because I'm not reading anything else. Fuck you, China and your Dragon Quest X.
I wonder if this means that the PC players will at least find a way to get onto the Chinese servers and make an English translation so people can actually play the game. That'd be interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, they are all about the bootleg in China. Did I say fuck you, China? I meant thank you, China. We love you. That's what I said, totally. Mm. Anyway, you want to read the next one?
Next one is from Gamatsu, where Monster Mon Piece is releasing for PC in the fall. And it says PC version lacks multiplayer, which is kind of pointless to release a game without multiplayer, if you ask me. But it offers 1080p and unedited cards. So if you want to see more scantily clad monster girls on cards, you can do that. Because the PS Vita version was infamous for censoring or editing the level 3 cards to basically just be the level 2 cards, but more powerful looking. And it just used the same image over again. But that's how they got around that.
I so don't care. You lost me at card game.
Yeah, this game is infamous for the Moe Monster Girls and how you could level up the cards by rubbing them.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to do that kind of rubbing, though.
No, not really. Looks. I'm sitting on the bus just rubbing the card like, oh,
especially since some of those girls are pedo bait.
Oh my god. See, what? Why? Why do they do that?
Because it's Japan and Japan.
I know, because Japan.
Does not know how to social evolution.
Because Japan and because Japan. Coming to us live from Gamatsu, Summon Night 6 PS Vita Wonderful Edition announced. It's really called the Wonderful Edition. In response to the overwhelming demand from fans, Gaijin Works has announced it will release the PS Vita version, previously a PS4 exclusive. This version is going to include the PS Vita game with multi-sided cover sheet, full-color game manual, and full-color disc label. Wow, game manual. That's fucking rare these days, actually. Dust jacketed, hardcover 200-plus page deluxe art book that chronicles the Summer Night series. Summer Night 6 Lost Borders 32-track full soundtrack with full-color disc label. Wow. I'm liking this. Exclusive 7-inch plush. Not liking it as much. Which is one of the possible sides. Exclusive 4 PVC molded drink coaster, one for each of the main characters, and one of the game logo. Exclusive huge 21x30 poster. Sorry, exclusive collector's box to hold everything. Exclusive serial numbered hologram. Okay. Well, the soundtrack and the manual and the book, like, those are all kind of cool. Let me see here. As far as price, $135.
I'm not a fan of the super editions.
But if you pre-order it before September 15th, you can get it for $115.
Mm. Wow.
That's crazy. It's been that much.
Just give me like a normal collector's edition for like $60.
Yeah, you can. Can I trade you in? I'll buy this, but then I'm going to sell you back your coasters and your poster and your doll.
$70, maybe $80 at the most. But just give me the art book and the soundtrack and I'll be good.
Half again what the game would normally cost is kind of my limit.
Right. That's insane. I'm posting this in chat so they can ridicule it as well. And while I'm doing that, you want to read the next story?
And so I guess that applies to both the PS4 and the Vita versions. So, but yeah, with that, going to another Square article, and this one's a sad one. Square Enix's I Am Setsuna Studio Tokyo RPG Factory sees a 244 million yen loss.
Damn.
Since it's been revealed in the latest publication of Final Fantasy's financial statements released by the official Gazette Kanpo, Square Enix's Tokyo RPG Factory studio saw a deficit of 244 million yen, and these are from the end of fiscal year of March 2016. Square Enix Holdings saw a loss of the yen, released on the PS4 and Vita in Japan. But it released on the PS4 and PC in the West, and digital only at that. But it says the entire studio was created for this game specifically, and it sold 33,629 copies for PlayStation 4. And 27,994 for the Vita on its opening week. And so that's a combined total of 61,623. And it says, while those numbers aren't terrible for a new IP, it was considered a not-so-great figure for major Square Enix title. And a deficit certainly shows for it. So they probably made their money back making the game, but not enough to actually make a profit.
Well, that company we've talked about before, they're so heavily invested in their investors that, they overprice what they think their games can do.
Was talking on Twitter earlier about how it seems that, well, he probably doesn't have a full story either, but it seems that people seem to want classic RPG gameplay, but then when it comes to the game that actually delivers on that concept, nobody wants to pay $40 to $60 for it.
Yeah, and well, and
everybody's a cheap ass.
Well, a lot of the problem with
it doesn't help that these are just Japanese figures alone. We don't know the US figures yet, but
they're not going to be as much.
But the PS4 and the Vita just aren't selling in Japan to begin with, so that's another reason the numbers are low. People don't want to buy new consoles. People would rather play games on their mobile.
Yeah.
And Square Enix doesn't know how to market stuff because they're cheap asses.
They do definitely not know how to market. And part of the problem, I was going to say, is on their mobile platforms, they charge a fucking fortune for their games. When you can get similar type games,
you may take an initial loss, but if you sell it for cheaper, people are more likely to buy your game, and then you'll be able to make up that loss. And plus
Manufacturing a game like a digital software isn't like the old days, it isn't like manufacturing a car. Like, you're not going to need
people. This is the sad reality of game development in the modern age.
Right. You're not going to need people.
Expensive.
Right. But you're not going to need people to keep up in making this car over and over again with the game. Once the game is made, it's out there. Like, you might take an initial loss, but you can make it up in volume of a mobile game.
But even though I said that it's like kind of supposed to be an old school throwback game, the game has a lot of mechanics that are seen in RPGs today and other RPGs as well, rather than just Chrono Trigger. I mean, it has the X strike and stuff, and you get to see enemies on the screen, and then you get into a fight and do an active time battle system. But other than that, it's not really Chrono Trigger.
Dungeon Buster in chat says could also be that I am Setsuna just isn't that great, just because you put together with old.
But I've got the general sense it's about a 7. Some people don't take that to mean that it's bad, though. But no, not really.
Just because you put together with old school RPG mechanics like a Lego set doesn't mean it's an instant hit.
Yeah.
That doesn't.
It's also Square Enix. So yeah, their projections are probably way higher than they probably should have realistically put them.
Well, they expected 5 million copies to sell.
Right.
Tomb Raider. Oh no, it didn't sell enough.
Final Fantasy 15, they're going to expect 40 billion copies to sell. And they're going to be unhappy when they don't sell that many.
They'll sell 20 billion and they'll be
15. I know. Like, it'll be the biggest hit of all time. It'll sell, like, it'll literally sell a billion copies.
Capcom was upset that Resident Evil 6 only sold 6 million copies. They wanted to, I guess they wanted to sell 10 million.
Yeah, Capcom's bad about that too, but I think they've gotten, I think they've gotten better. I think it's,
I'm leery about Resident Evil 7. It's going for the PT like feel, and I'm not sure if that will work. And it's like, don't you guys have any original ideas other than rip on a game that never happened?
I haven't played.
It's like, let's deliver the experience that Konami obviously didn't want to.
Well, I don't think Konami's reasons for canceling it were good, though. I think people were excited about the game. It was going to be an interesting game, and they just wanted to part ways with Kojima because he was so expensive.
Dungeon Buster says 40 billion or bust. Yeah, pretty much. The Squinix policy. That's the company policy, the company mottos. 40 billion or bust. You hear that? We get 40 billion or you're all fucking fired. And they said it like that too.
At least Tokyo RPG Studio isn't closing down because of this. And it seems that their future might lie in the West, because I wouldn't be surprised if the sale numbers for the Western releases of this game are better.
Because the PlayStation sells better in America?
No, well, not just that, but because people actually want this kind of experience.
I'll buy it when they release a physical.
And there's just, and by virtue of the fact that the Western countries have bigger population density. Sure, the countries are larger, people are more spread out, but there's overall more people.
And we do have cold winters with long times to play video games. Just saying. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next story. Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Capcom reveals a through-the-glass experience visual novel, Imprisoned Palm. What a weird name for a title. Capcom recently teased a smartphone app aimed towards girl. It really says aimed towards girl. And today they officially announced Imprisoned Palm, a through-the-glass experience visual novel. That's good.
I'm glad they copied a piece of the press release text, didn't they?
Probably. That's good that they're aiming more and more games towards girl.
No, I think it's amazing that Capcom has finally embraced otome and visual novels as a medium that they can explore.
Oh, never mind. This is Japan only. Never mind.
It could be localized.
The genre of Imprisoned Palm is listed as through-the-glass experience adventure game. In the game, the player will get to read into the closed-off memories and heart of Haruto? Okay. A young man named Haruto. What? Why is he? Oh, my God. Who is imprisoned in an internment camp located on a solitary island. The game will feature 6 episodes, with the episodes being released weekly in a drama-like fashion. Trailer shows Haruto locked up and communicating with the player, who will learn more about his memories along with Haruto. You'll get to explore different parts of the island and communicate with its people in visual novel fashion.
I'm guessing that there's 2 Harutos. That's where the confusion lies.
Maybe. You can watch Haruto in his cell and communicate with him through the smartphone as though you're on the other side of the glass wall. In the video, people in chat will get to see it, but they demonstrated tapping on the screen where he says, I can't see if your hand is in the way. I can't see you. If your hand is in the way. Okay, I said that. Come closer. More. I want to get a better look at your face. Why? Though I'm so close, I still... Let me start over. Let me read this. Oh, I can't see if your hand is in the way. Come closer. More. I want to get a better look at your face.
It doesn't translate that well. And Japanese to English doesn't translate that well, especially when it's a direct translation through a stupid press release.
You interrupted my dramatic reading. Why? Though I'm so close, I still can't look inside your heart.
You'll be the voice actor if they localize it.
I'll totally do it, too. Call me. I am on. I'm on board for this.
I think the only other visual novel Capcom's explored is probably be the Ace Attorney series, and that's just barely a visual novel because it's also a... count the contradictions and point them out type of game.
Puzzle game.
Yeah. and with a little bit of adventure game thrown in.
Capcom, if you want an over actor voice actor, I'm your man. Come on, call me. I don't have to overact. I cannot overact. Just call me. I will work cheap.
You'll do it for free.
Whoa.
No, you'll do it for beer. That's what you'll do it for.
I'll do it for beer money. Let's do this. Call me Capcom. No, actually, you know what? It would be so cool to act in a game that, you know, if it wasn't going to take up my entire life, you know, maybe I would swing one for free if I could, if it maybe get me into others. Just saying. As a jumping off point.
That would be the game to get your foot in the door, too, for sure.
Mm. Come closer. Closer. I can't see you.
Anyways, this next article is yours. Or mine. That's right. You just went. From Silly String Era, we've got a Pokemon article. The Volcanion Pokemon distribution event begins in October. Wow, they're telling us well in advance. That's strange. But it says that Volcanion distribution event for Pokemon XY, Alpha Sapphire, and Omega Ruby has been dated. And the legendary Fire and Water type, which is an odd typing, will be distributed in October 2016 in both North America and Europe. And you'll have to visit retail stores like GameStop. Actually, that's the only retail store you'll have to go through to get a card that has a code on it that you use in the game's mystery gift menu.
Dungeon Buster says will voice act for beer.
And it says it will arrive at level 70. And it comes with the water absorbability, which restores health by one quarter of its max HP when hit by a water type move. Also, no explosion, flamethrower, hydro pump, and steam eruption. I like the idea of restoring HP with getting hit with a water attack. That kind of makes it broken, but cool. But, it's announced alongside the English title for the next Pokemon movie, Pokemon the Movie, Volcanion and the Mechanical Marvel.
Wow. How long are the titles going to be for Pokemon games 10 or 15 years from now?
They usually keep short.
Pokemon Red, Sapphire, Alpha, Omega.
Well, they only did that because it was supposed to be a remake of Ruby and Sapphire. Okay. So they had to put another thing in front of it.
All right.
But this next article is yours.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu, The Darkest Dungeon for PS4, PS Vita launches September 27th. Why? Why is that the why is that the heading when that's the first paragraph of your thing? Oh my god! The game will cost $24.99 and feature both cross-buy, buy it for one platform, get it free for another. Oh, that's cool. The cross save.
So you're basically paying $17-$18 for each version of the game.
Pretty much. PlayStation Plus members will receive a 20% discount. Darkest Dungeon is challenging gothic roguelike turn-based RPG about the psychological stresses of adventuring. Oh, that's not something that's ever dealt with. Recruit, train, and lead a team of flawed heroes through twisted forests, forgotten warrens, ruined crypts, and beyond. Sorry, I had to belch. You'll battle not only unimagined foes, but stress, famine, disease, and ever encroaching. Why did I hit the mute button? And ever encroaching dark. Ever encroaching dark. Uncover strange mysteries and pit the heroes against an array of fearsome monsters with an innovative strategic turn-based combat system. The affliction system. Battle not only monsters but stress. Contend with paranoia, masochism, fear, irrationality, and a host of gameplay meaningful quirks. Like, you know, maybe like you gotta take crap really bad. Suddenly a zombie. You're going crazy, and you got diarrhea. And that's when the zombies attack. Striking hand-drawn gothic crow quill art style? Okay. Innovative turn-based combat pits you against a host of diabolical monsters. Narration systems celebrate your successes and failures. I like that. 14 and counting playable hero classes, including Plague Doctor, Hellion, and even the Leper. Okay. Camp to heal wounds and deliver inspiring speeches. Rest your weary, shell-shocked characters in town at the tavern or to Abbey to keep your stress in check.
That's PTSD, by the way. It used to be called shell shocked, and then they called it PTSD when they had a proper definition for it.
Classic CRPG and roguelike features, including meaningful permadeath, procedural dungeons, and incredible replay. Can you stem the tide of Eldritch horrors erupting across your family's ancestral state? Descend at your peril. Okay. That actually sounds kind of interesting.
And the next game's got a release date. It's Earthlock the Festival of Magic. Well, it's a really not a date, but a window. So it says the fall. It's a turn-based RPG for independent developer Snowcastle Games. Launch for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And the publisher's name is Sodesco.
Sodesco?
Sodesco? I don't know. And we talked about this before, but it's about how a desert scavenger named Amon finds himself in the adventure of his life when he crosses path with the most peculiar creature back home in Zaber. Join Amon and other remarkable heroes in this turn-based fantasy RPG on an unforgettable journey across the world of Umbra, the mysterious, beautiful, but harsh planet that stopped spinning thousands of cycles ago. Well, I imagine if the planet stops spinning, lots of shit happens.
Right.
Like, the entire half of the other planet is covered in darkness and nothing probably grows anymore.
Yeah.
And it's cold as shit.
I'd imagine it's pretty lifeless at that point. But this being an RPG, I imagine there's probably, like, monsters there and stuff.
And there's magic in the game, so they probably got by with magic somehow.
Yeah, and your characters will go there and they'll never put on coats or anything like that.
Because
they're never getting
one. Practical clothing in RPG is definitely a faux pas.
It's true.
We talk about stupid JRPG tropes next week.
There's definitely one. I liked at least in Final Fantasy 13-2, where you're going through the snow at one point. At least like Sarah was like grabbing her arms like at some point. Like, okay, at least she's pretending to be cold. Like, usually it's like they're running, because Noel's running through in like t-shirt and
she's a Lassie, so she should at least, you know, or at least she was a Lassie. Never mind.
Yeah, she's not anymore. But like, if she at least acknowledges that it's cold at some points. But Noel, like, he'll put his hands on his hip. Like, I'm not cold. Like, yeah, you fucking goddamn it. You just don't want to put on clothes, you asshole.
He's got pocket warmers in his pockets. That's how he was getting by.
In his hammer pants. coming to us live from Gamatsu. Criminal Girls 2. Players. Were you done with that last article? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, I was done.
Okay. Criminal Girls 2 Party Favors will not release in Germany. Uh-oh. Must be some naughty bits.
Also, this is Germany.
Right. Here we go. Here's some German words. The Unterhaltungssoftware Selbstkontrolle, which rates video games for release in Germany, has refused to provide a rating for Criminal Girls 2 Party Favors. I wonder why.
It's a ban.
Yeah.
You can go to France and buy a copy and they won't arrest you, but they're not selling it there.
Europe is going to release it in September 3rd with the PEGI system of 16. It's going to come out in North America September 20th with a mature rating. And what a shock. They I don't even know why they put it on here, but the title will not be released in Australia. we knew
there's,
that.
There's another game called Make You, the Labyrinth of Death, has been denied classification in Australia because I don't know why, because the game doesn't even seem half as perverse as this is. But Australia is more fucked up than Germany is.
Australia likes to ban stuff. Well, like, Germany, like, you have to completely understand. Like, it's because of World War II.
Well, like, yeah, but they need to get over themselves.
No, not get over themselves. Like, it's the rest of the world, like, basically still kind of...
You can't move on unless you acknowledge your horrible past. And them trying to ban stuff like this isn't them acknowledging their past. It's running away from it.
Well, there was a what was that? Family Guy. There was a joke when they asked him about it, when they're talking about World War II, and the Germans said we were on vacation or something like that. Like they completely unacknowledged.
It's because of Germany that that Europe was denied a proper version of Contra, and it was modified as Probotector, and all the player characters were robots.
But you invaded Poland. We were invited! Okay. That's right, with the guns pointed right at him. You were guys invited, right?
Anyway. So, Germany being Germany.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, it's still – there's a lot of stiff rules, so it's a lot of it's based on they don't ever want to – like when people talk about Trump being Hitler, Germany's rules, a lot of like restrictions are based on making sure that they don't ever have like another Hitler.
Which ironically makes them exactly like the Socialist Party because that's what they did. They banned everything.
Yeah, they did ban a lot of stuff, and that's why like neo Nazis are really prevalent in Germany too. Like just like the anti establishment. Like,
I know your heart might be in the right place, but you're producing the effect that you don't want to produce anyway.
Yeah, I don't know like when the last time they've really upped.
No. Screw also. That. Your heart isn't in the right place because you obviously aren't even thinking.
Anyway, you want to read the next story, or was I? Who's the next story?
That would be me. Okay. Mystery Chronicle. One Way Heroics is coming to PC via Steam September 13th. It'll launch for $10 with a 10% discount. That's a cheap game. I was under the impression you could get a physical version of the game. I think that's probably at least 10 bucks more, if not 20 bucks more.
Let me interrupt you real quick because Dungeon Muster in chat says Germany is actually incredibly progressive when it comes to recognizing their war past. Japan, on the other hand, isn't. Well, yeah, Japan denies a lot of stuff. Like, they still refuse to apologize to China for a lot of the atrocities they committed there, for God's sakes.
But it's kind of sad to see. Oh, wait. It says the PlayStation 4 and Vita versions are also due out in North America and Europe by the end of the summer. So. Sometime before the end of September, I guess. And this is coming – the PC version that's coming out first by Spike Chunsoft themselves. But that's all it really says. It doesn't say whether or not the console version will come launch the same day or whatever. But that'd be weird. I forget who the publisher for the console versions is, whether or not Spike Chunsoft themselves. I have to see – find out. But Have you played One Way Heroics, Jason?
No.
Apparently, from what I've heard, this is probably an inferior version of the game, despite having a story, because the whole point of the concept of the game was that you're supposed to do a dungeon crawler while the screen's scrolling. So you're basically you're supposed to get through a dungeon without having the screen crush you. But the problem with that is that you still have to deal with the other elements of the dungeon crawler, like the RNG might try to screw you over while you're trying to get through the dungeon. Before, it was just get through an area and fight monsters before the screen crushes you. Now you
that kind of sounds like Pac-Man.
Now you have to deal with procedural generation and the game potentially screwing you over on top of that. So doesn't sound particularly fun in that aspect. But I have that yet to play the game, so who knows how awful it'll be.
Hey, it might turn out to be fun. Or maybe it'll turn out to be like so bad it's fun. Mm. Like, oh my god, this is terrible. I can't believe I'm still playing it, but it's so bad it makes me laugh. I can't wait to tell everybody about how bad this game is.
This is kind of interesting. It has Twitter connectivity. Like you can post your success or failures on Twitter.
Oh, I don't need to know that. I don't want those fucking updates on my Twitter. Don't put those updates on my timeline, people.
Yeah, I think they did that for, like, Uncharted 3 or 2 or something. Or whenever you got an achievement or something.
Oh, God. I don't want that. Just like I don't want your telling me how many people are following you, Frank. I don't need that update. Frank.
Like most people will take a picture of like a thing they can make a joke about, and then they'll post it on Twitter that way. But an automatic updating thing? No, that sounds annoying.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster likes to say, I just want to say it's really nice seeing so many Japanese titles appear on Steam. Imports for everyone.
Anyways, the last article is yours.
Yay me, because this one's from Destructoid, thank God. Torment, Tides of Numenera. Numenera?
Numenera.
Numenera. Okay, will also launch on PS4, Xbox One. While an isometric RPG like the Kickstarted Torments, Tides of Tides of Numenera is better served on PC, having it also available on consoles for those who don't mind playing with a gamepad is something I can get behind.
I don't why they don't allow keyboard and mouse support on consoles. It just does not make sense. Some games actually do, so why don't more games do that?
I think it's a lot of it. I think it's just harder for the developer because they got to add. They have to program it for the keyboard too.
Considering some console ports of PC games don't even bother to resize the text size of the game, so you get tiny little text that was meant to be read on a smaller monitor on a TV screen.
There was one console like company that said like they don't want to do that because they said like this is a console, like you can play, it might be Microsoft and Xbox, like we want you to play like
NES mouse, SNES mouse, so they don't have an excuse.
Oh man, I miss Mario Paint. That was so much fun. Anyway, let's back to the story.
I think Final Fantasy XII had mouse and keyboard support.
Yeah, there are some like definitely on the PlayStation 2, there are some games like EverQuest that had like keyboard support, you know.
Fantasy Star Online on Dreamcast.
Although I don't know if this game will even be any good because Techland made the game and well, they also made the Dead Island games, which are not good, and Dying Light, which is even worse than those games.
You know, that was Microsoft, because come to think of it, remember the experiment they tried with Shadowrun? They turned it into a first-person shooter, but they let cross-play. So the people that are playing on the console were just getting destroyed by the PC players, you know, because of their stance at the time. Like, they didn't want – we want them to be separate, basically. We want you to buy computers and an Xbox kind of thing. But I think since then they've changed because I'm pretty sure like the last Xbox had like keyboard.
Oh wait, this game is being made by InXile and Techland's only helping them. Okay, that helps.
Oh yeah, the last box had that little mini keyboard you could plug right on your fucking controller. Yeah. That's right. The 360 had that little.
I bought that and it, right? Like, it wouldn't work for me. I don't know. Maybe I didn't plug it in right.
Worked for me.
Yeah, like I had friends with it, and they'd type me like this long paragraph, and I'm sitting there like taking an hour to type them back. Like, God damn you assholes! Like, buy me one too. So, anyways, this game back to God damn it, I said anyways. Anyway,
it's coming out in 2017, some in the first quarter.
That's the plan with Techland, handling retail distribution, marketing, game, and physical backer rewards come release. This allows us to focus on the vast majority of why did my pages reload on me like that. My fucking connection. I'm working on that right now, by the way. I might have a special surprise next week for me. This allows us to focus the vast majority of our resources on development of the game itself. After the critical and commercial success of Wastelands 2 Director's Cut on consoles, and with fans clamoring for it, it had been in our plans to bring Torment Tides of Numenera to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Why were we? Quarter 1, 2017. So that's, you know, that's basically, I think, January through March. Usually for most companies.
Before the end of the fiscal year, basically.
Well, a lot of companies, most companies break it down into four quarters, just like there are four seasons. But unlike the seasons, which are like, you know, winter starts in December and ends in March. Like, they would be quarter one is usually going to be like January to say through March. But it's different when they say, like, we say spring of 2017, and then they're going usually by the calendar. So when they say spring, they're usually meaning like the end of spring. Like, you're going to get this in late May, early June type thing.
Yeah, like Bunny number 9. It's going to come out in spring, and it was the very first day of summer. But that's only because it happened to fall on a Tuesday.
Right.
But with that, we've got no more news. We got Woo! 2 homie discounts, though. Okay. I'm not going to post the links in chat, but you can go to Steam and you can get a lot of Idea Factory games that are on sale, and you can get lots of JRPGs through PS Now if you have PS Now. It's like one of them's Trails of Cold Steel, of which the sequel, Cold Steel 2, will be coming out exactly a month and a day from now. So you should get that and help Xseed out and make this series popular so we can get the rest. But what have you guys been playing?
I'm going to go first because I've been playing the same stuff I always play.
Unless you've got a homie discount.
No, I don't have any
Kemco stuff.
I've been busy. I haven't actually been paying attention to what's on sale or anything like that. Let me see what I've been playing. I've been playing Halo 5 a little bit, Garden Warfare, and a lot of Final Fantasy Record Keeper, of course. But I think this week I played mostly because of my shitty internet connection. I played Mega Man Legacy Collection, and I'm pretty convinced at this point that the first Mega Man is the hardest one, even though the bosses are the easiest.
Except for Yellow Devil. Fuck the Yellow Devil.
No, I mean the robot monsters, the robot masters are the easiest. Yeah. Cutman and all them. They're by far the easiest of all of them. But like
Especially
Yellow Devil,
the pause cheat.
Yeah, and well, that's the thing. I've been playing it in challenges, and it's not letting me use the pause cheat. So I haven't.
Yeah, that's right. That's part of the challenges.
Yeah, I can't beat it, and I want to.
I couldn't even beat the Yellow Devil in Powered Up unless I played it on easy because it hurts me too much on normal.
Yeah, I understand that. Like, it just, like, the Yellow Devil, and not just him, but the whole, like, Wily levels, and like, just so brutal. Because you start off and there's a big eye, and there's another big eye, and there's another big eye, like, right away. Like,
there is a weapon that kills him quickly, but I don't know. I forget which one it was. There's a way of predicting your jumps so you can get out of the way better.
Yeah, or you can just freeze them, which is what I usually do. They jump, I freeze them, go underneath them. That's what I usually do. But I'm just saying, like, I think they're brutally hard. And I think basically the Mega Man's got easier. Like, that from like 2 was still hard, 3 was still hard, but just like not as hard. And then 4 was. 4 was a bit easier, and 5 was easier, and 6 is like, wow, this well, like, yeah, these are easier.
6 got hard in Wily's Castle, though.
Well, they all get a bit harder in Wily's Castle, but I mean,
I didn't have that much of a problem with 6.
Yeah, but as far as like compared to the other
ones, I had a bit
ones,
more of a problem with 5 because the Dark Masters are difficult.
They can be. 5 is I think it's 5. It's 5 or 4, like where the like their weaknesses barely do that much damage to them, so the robot masters are a bit harder in that one.
The weapons are more used for stunning them into a locking pattern.
Yeah, it's 4 or 5. I can't remember which one. So the enemies are just so the robot masters are harder, but when you get to the Wily stages, like the Wily stages like themselves are just they're not as brutal as like the original Mega Man and then Mega Man 2 and so on. I just that's my personal opinion.
A lot of people say 3 is also hard because of the Doc Robot levels.
Yeah, the Doc Robot levels are hard. Yeah, I can't deny that. I think especially like
supercharged Mega Man 2 characters. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, they are definitely brutal. I was gonna say about Gemini Man stage, like you need a jet. If you don't have a jet, you can't even get through the stage type shit. Whatever, the rush jet. But yeah, like I'm not saying it's not
also
hard.
The rush marine, which is like the most underutilized thing in that game. Like, why did you put this in here? Because if you don't play the levels in the right sequence, when the game starts, you can use Rush Marine in Genmai Man stage, and the only other place to use it would be the first Wily level.
Yeah, where you have to fight the turtle at the end. I was gonna say, Mega Man 5, they even have, like, you get to ride on like this jet ski. Like, wait, what about Rush Marine? Can he do that anymore?
No. I'll say how they gimped the Rush jet. You couldn't just fly it anywhere. It would just fly in an angle like the jet would in Mega Man 2, but that one was super fast. They like slowed Rush down so you could actually control it.
Yeah. And was it 6? Like, I know Moria likes 6, and I know why. Like, the power ups are cool, like Super Mega Man. Like, that's a cool thing, but they're just so underutilized.
Also, the Rush coils in Mega Man 5 through 5 and 6, especially, was also screwed up.
Yeah,
it didn't work like a spring like it did in 3 and 4.
Yeah, in 5 it was like it jumped up with you and fucked you up when you're trying to jump too. Like, wait a minute, like, stop jumping. Like, I just want to jump up. Leave me alone.
What it did is you jump on it, it jump, and then you have to jump off.
That's what I'm saying. But 6 was the jetpack, which is really cool, but it's barely used.
And 7, like, they kind of nerfed it, but it's okay because the level design kind of makes it work. Yeah. But I like 7, the control you had in 6.
Yeah. And 7, I don't think they, like, there's so many hidden secrets and just so much replayability in 7 that I don't think any of the power-ups are really underused, but...
Also, fuck 8 for just screwing Rush over, period. Like, ooh, Rush Cycle and Rush Search. I like the Rush Jet power-up, though, where it's like there's no E-Tanks in the game, so it's like your only method of regaining health, because they'll drop health power-ups and weapon power-ups. But you can only use it once per level, so you gotta be careful.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, what I loved about the Mega Man series is the music. So fun to just listen to it in the background.
Yeah. 2 especially.
So is that 2, all you've been 3, playing?
4. I love the music. Like, I think the music in 4 and 5 especially is really underrated. And even 6. Like, there's still good music in those games. Like, 4's got this, like, upbeat, happy kind of soundtrack to it. I'm not denying that 2's amazing soundtrack. I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying that some of the other soundtracks get overlooked, and the 3rd soundtrack's probably my favorite, personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been playing Umineko When They Cry Question Arc, and I finished that, and the review's up at BostonBrasherBrigade.com right now. And I finished Yo-Kai Watch when I did my laundry on Saturday. And I played a little bit of God of Protectors. I wrote the review of that. That should be up soon. It's a tower defense game for the 3DS that has a retro aesthetic. But it's really fresh because there's like a couple ideas in the game that they threw to make it not like every other tower defense game. Basically, it's like an action game, and you have to protect not only the princess, but the castle. And you have to keep the enemies outside of the castle by strengthening your barricades. And when they beat up on them, you can repair them just by attacking the barricade. But and then you have to go after the monster generators to make sure the monsters don't keep coming. And there's different gimmicks in each level, so it stays fresh that way, so it doesn't get too repetitive. Because the original game was basically just a simple gotta protect the prince's tower defense. And ways of monster was just go after you that way. But this game actually has objectives, and it has an actual story behind it. And it's really goofy, too. Like, the localization's, like, self-aware, and there's parodies of, like, Gundam. Like, one of the classes you can play is called Old Guy, who's basically the tank. And he has an old G Gundam-like thing that looks like the Gundam from Turn A Gundam, but he has, like, a different mustache so they don't get sued. But and he rides around in a thing called a potty horse. Don't even ask me what that means.
Oh no, I want to know more.
And there's a ninja that who's basically naked, and he looks like a character from a movie called Hentai Kamen. And you should see the trailer of Hentai Kamen. Just go YouTube it. It's a sight to behold. I want to watch that movie now. And so I like that. But other than that, I played a little bit of Shin Megami Tensei 4 when I couldn't do much, when my power was out. I got sick of that. Went to my parents' house to watch some stuff that I had recorded, and some of the stuff didn't record because the power. Because when I went to do my laundry that night, apparently the cable went out, and if the cable's out, the DVR won't even work. So
yeah.
So that's I had to find those online somewhere. Then I played Batman: The Telltale Series yesterday. I didn't finish it, but it's only episode one. And it's about the length of a typical episode from Telltale game. So that's about 3 hours. I don't know, more like 2.5.
So what's it like? Are you like the detective Batman type thing?
Actually, they place you in the role of Bruce Wayne and they do more than they do Batman. There's like two more chapters I have to go through, and each chapter is probably about 15 to 30 minutes long. And there's only been one sequence one action sequence where I had to do QTs with Batman, and then the other part was doing detective work. And it's a lot more smoother detective mode than there was in the Arkham City and Arkham Knight games. So basically you just look at something and then you look at some other things and then you try to connect the two pieces of evidence together to see if you can make an accurate prediction. So it's a bit more it's a bit simpler than what you had to do in Arkham Knight, where you had to do fast forwarding and zooming in on stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But other than that, I played a little bit of Grand Kingdom. And that's all I played. What did you play, Jason? Anything?
Because on our show, guests go last. We're not nice around here.
I've been playing mostly retro stuff. I played and wrote a guide for Mega Man 6. So,
wow, what a coincidence.
Here's the thing most people don't know, but the Rush Jet actually is the most effective on the Wily machine in Mega Man 3 when you're fighting the fake Dr. Wily. It's like in its second phase is where it's most useful, because normally most people will just use the Rush Jet and then the Spark Shot after switching. But that's too much of a pain in the ass, and you're better off just plunging bullet after bullet into him with the Rush Jet. Because rate of fire is actually pretty good. And you got more than enough jet power in that thing to make it work.
And then besides Mega Man 6, I played through both quests of The Legend of Zelda on the NES.
In one...
Huh?
Saying you've been doing this... I said you did this all in 1 week, but you weren't... This isn't necessarily 1 week. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Zelda was, I was grabbing a whole bunch of screenshots for a guide, and that took 2 weeks to go through both quests because I would do a dungeon or two every night. And then I've also been playing Mobius Final Fantasy, and I played just assorted other stuff over time.
I heard the protagonist in that game is like the most angstiest version of a Final Fantasy character that's ever existed.
I don't know that I'd say that. He's kind of boring.
He's so angsty, he's become boring. So it's like, swear, yeah, you made a boring character again, yay.
Who?
Boring.
No, which character?
The character of Mobius Final Fantasy.
Oh, okay.
I guess he's closest to, like, Squall.
Yeah. What's the gameplay like, though?
Have you played Monster Strike?
That's like the super simple edition of Monster Hunter, isn't it?
No, it's like it's kind of similar, I guess, to Puzzle and Dragons.
Wait, that was Monster Hunter Cross-Strike. That was a different game. So it's kind of like Puzzle and Dragons?
Vaguely, but the combat system is completely different. But, I mean, a lot of the same sort of stuff, just the general approach feels very similar.
Mm. So I have Puzzle and Dragons C, but I haven't played it yet.
You know, I had fun with it. I've had quite a lot of fun with it, but it's addictive, but it's not necessarily what I would call a good game. It's just, it does have good production values, though.
I heard that the Mario counterpart isn't so great, though.
What, of Puzzle and Dragons?
Puzzle and Dragons Z and the Mario. Oh, I've 3DS.
I played a lot of the Mario one. It's actually, I haven't played the Mario one at all.
So it's actually good?
Which one, the Mobius or the
the Mario one? Like you said, it was actually
it's really tough. Like, I expected to breeze through it, you know, because it's Mario characters and stuff. But I only got to like World 6, and I set it down and didn't get back to it. It gets pretty difficult.
Hmm.
Wow. Oh, I had a lull. So we probably should have done while Frank was here. We were talking about Galaga and Double Peace last week.
Do you want to wait and see if he comes back on it then? No, he's not. I'm just going ahead.
But anyways, we were talking about Double Peace. Got some store decided not to carry it in Australia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who could have seen that coming?
At least in Australia. But apparently there was a typo in the box in the back of the case where the Radium was supposed to be there. Apparently, it says rated E for sexual content.
Oops.
This is a game that has the Doki Doki mode where a 360-degree view of female characters is depicted, and you could be basically a pervy voyeur.
Uh-oh.
There's even a $90 DLC package that lets people use the see-through power to, you know.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, God. That's a DLC only the biggest purpose of the world would pay for.
$90?
Yeah. $90 looking half naked, or looking fully naked video chicks.
Anime chicks.
Sorry. Chicks. Yeah. Oh, God. Like, oh, I'm like, what? $90? Oh, my God.
That's a genius move on their part, because if somebody's crazy enough to pay for that, you might as well take their money.
That's the thing, is I know there are people already have. Like, I imagine there are guys right now, their pants are all the way down their ankles, and the ice cream's over the one side, and the lube's on the other hand, and they're just watching this game.
I hate shit ice cream.
Yeah. Oh, my God. $90 to see anime chicks naked.
Yeah. This typo is just the icing on the cake, though. It's right up there with Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some of the people in the comments were showing the different typos in different boxes. Like what, do you remember how Splinter Cell for the Xbox had a typo where on the spine of the box it said Splinter Cell?
I don't remember the typo, but there were a lot of, like, I do remember, like, watching people play through that game and having going through, like, a bunch of bugs and shit. Mm. So I'm not surprised there are errors on the cover.
Splinter Cell. That's hilarious.
It looked like fun when it wasn't fucking up.
Oh, there was also one for Naruto Shippuden, where one of the U's is, I think, missing. Yeah, Powerful Shippuden, that's what it was. It was the SD Naruto game based off of that Rock Lee side show that they decided to air after Bleach had been canned for whatever reason.
Hmm. I want somebody to, like, make the error and call it Naruto Shippuden.
Shippuden.
Yeah. Don't you think that would be funny? Like, oh, look at that error. Ha ha ha. No? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's what we've been playing, right?
Yeah. And here's my brief review of Star Trek Beyond, and then we can get out of here because I know you have to go soon.
Jason's been on the show with us as a guest, and he hasn't had much time to talk. And I think we should, after you do your review,
how much time do you have?
Oh, like 10 minutes.
Okay. So I'll do a quick review and we can talk about something. But Star Trek Beyond, it was better than Into Darkness. They sort of redid the plot of Wrath of Khan, the original Wrath of Khan, not the Into Darkness Wrath of Khan, because of the villain. Basically, they end up on a planet where the villain had ended up stranded there for like hundreds of years, and he found a way to keep living. But he basically wants revenge on the Federation because they abandoned him. So in that way, it's kind of like Wrath of Khan.
I was going to say, that's not really a new story with Star Trek, like somebody wanting revenge on the Federation, feeling betrayed.
But that's also Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
It's like the Federation must be really evil because they make lots of enemies.
Oh, no, they piss everybody off, don't they?
But anyways, it's like this weird power he was using to keep himself alive also distorted his face, because he originally wasn't human. You find out later in the movie. Spoilers! But it's not like the characters in Star Trek for aliens are all that imaginative. They're mostly humanoid, so that's not really, you know, whatever. But
like every once in a while we get a trouble.
Anyways, there was a new character. It's like the white-skinned girl. I forget her name. I don't think they mentioned it that much because the pace of the movie was so manic. You don't really get a chance to have it stick in your head, because like they'll mention it and they'll never mention it again.
Did they ever yell Whitey? Hey, Whitey!
No. But she ends up – well, she'll probably be in a reoccurring character in later films.
Is Kirstie Alley in the Star Trek movies?
She's in the original Star Trek movies.
Yeah, and the character she played was replaced by someone else by the third movie.
Yeah.
So she's only in the first two. But, anyways, I'm going to give this movie an 8 out of 10.
Oh, that's good. That's
and
damn good.
The thing I hate about the first two films, the ones that were written by J.J. Abrams and not Simon Pegg and some other guy, was the fact that, well, I don't like J.J. Abrams because he's not a good writer. He'll do good action parts of movies, but I think that's like all he's really good at, because his stories are just dumb. I mean, the whole thing with the red matter making a black hole open was stupid, because we know how black holes work, and that's not how they work. But other than that, there was like issues with Into Darkness where they treated that one chick's dad as like a bad guy because of what he was doing to fight the Klingons, or preparing for war with the Klingons, because that's going to happen. So, like, he's in the right for preparing. Even the only bad thing he did was probably not telling anybody about it and killing anybody who got in his way.
That does sound bad.
Yeah. But, so it was the secrecy that was a problem, and not, like, everybody being on board with it. It's just stupid stuff like that. And the fact that they tried to make it too much like Wrath of Khan, but let's change it up and have Kirk be the one who almost dies.
Are there any bugs that go into people's head brains?
No.
Oh, okay.
But in this movie there is like the villain does have like an insect like ship squadron. They basically attack like a swarm and destroy things that way.
Oh, that's interesting.
But
that does sound kind of cool.
But yeah, the Enterprise blows up.
Oh, what?
Not though.
What?
But yeah, when does it not blow up though?
Say, oh, goddamn you with your spoilers! Wait, it does that in every movie.
So, I wonder. I wonder if the new Enterprise will be called like Mark II or something. Or Mark III. Is it Mark IV at this point, probably?
That's how they always upgrade them. It's like it gets destroyed. So, like, here you go. Here's the new one. Like, ooh, shiny.
Yeah, we're going to make design it exactly the same as the last one because fuck being practical. It's like maybe you shouldn't make your ship with have a large saucer that could be separated from the rest of the ship. But, oh well. That's all I have to say about that.
All right.
Do we have anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I wanted to give Jason the floor because, we appreciate him being here, but we've monopolized the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been listening mostly.
I was going to do a free-for-all, but you don't have much time, so I didn't know what to do. Let's talk more about Mega Man. Yeah.
Well, everybody should read my Mega Man guides because I've now made Mega Man guides for 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 on
my
site.
Please make one for the original. Like, you have to beat the Yellow Devil for me. Dominate the Yellow Devil and get me to do it.
I've just been saving the worst for last.
I hate that goddamn devil.
No, the worst Mega Man games is Mega Man PC and Mega Man 3 PC.
Well, yeah. I don't like 3 all that much anyway, but, you know.
Blasphemy.
I don't think I want to play it on PC ever.
My name's Breakman.
The PC ones were, like, completely different games. It was just called Mega Man 3 for whatever reason, and they're not good.
Well, now I might have to play them.
They're so bad you have
played
to.
Played Mega Man versus Street Fighter.
Just, like, find DOSBox and then run it through that.
I did play
I'm
that
sure
game too.
Anywhere.
That was surprisingly easy.
What was
Mega Man versus Street Fighter?
I didn't
actually finish it. Like I was like easily wiping through the boss robots and got bored and quit playing.
Well, did you beat 9?
Yeah. Love 9. 9 is amazing. I think 9 is one of the better in the series, in fact.
Hey, Rick, did you ever play the Flash game Rocko-chan?
No.
Basically, it's like a female version of Mega Man. But instead of sliding, she dashes like Bass does.
There was I played a mobile. I've played a few mobile Mega Man games. This one where you basically were just riding in the Rush Marine for most of the levels. Like it was a scrolling game, and it was. But the bosses were original. It was just an absolute terrible game.
I like the shmup section of Mega Man 5 for the Game Boy.
Mega Man 5. That was a good game. I liked it for as far as like Game Boy quality. I thought. Came a new bosses.
That's how they should have just handled all the Mega Man Game Boy games instead of just doing a rehash of the first four, slightly remixed.
Yeah, with not as many of the boss robots.
Half the boss robots are in the game, yeah. And then they put the other half in the next game and so on until 5.
Yeah, they did that. That was some horse shit that they pulled, you're right. maybe forget what I was going to say because you're so right about that. Tango, like Mega Man 5, like they used him once and he's never been seen before. The rocket fist move, which was, I liked that. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. Gone too. Stuff like that.
They had Tango, but not Salsa.
Yeah. Make that a new robot, buddy that Mega Man can use Salsa.
Right.
Have it be a monkey. I don't know.
Well, but let me see. He's got the bird. He's got a dog. He's got a cat. A hamster, maybe? Or a rabbit?
A ferret.
Yeah. Pet ferret. Okay. I knew somebody had a pet ferret once. Yeah, don't pet him.
I forgot about cat. What one does he have a cat in?
The Tango. That's Mega Man 5 on Game Boy.
Oh, see, I haven't played that one.
Oh, okay.
It turns into a buzzsaw.
Yeah, it just flies around the screen. So it sort of does the exact same thing as Beat, just it's a cat instead of a bird. and then Mega Man 8, you get the soccer ball.
Uh-oh. I didn't ask for this, but my computer's restarting.
Oh, that sucks.
I'm going to have to go in like 2 minutes, so.
Yeah, I guess we need to go real quick. So what are your plugs? Thanks for being here, Jason. That's really awesome. You're welcome here anytime. You might get more to say if we planned it out better next time. And you can follow me at break underscore thinking when they made that ass.
I don't know what they were thinking.
God,
we're, then they put him in 3, so you know they must have thought it was a good idea twice.
At least he was never that hard again. Like, thank God. Like they've done that type of thing like several times over now. Like they did in 9, I think they did in 10 also, and Mangman 3, I think they did in 6. No.
No, 6. The worst thing 6 had was that whole room of spikes, and you had to use the jetpack to avoid
hitting. Okay, yeah, that's right. No, they used it again, but which one was it? Wasn't one? It wasn't 4 from 6. No, what? Maybe Mega Man and Bass. Is that what I'm thinking of? Maybe.
Oh, maybe that one was difficult.
It might have been that one, but it had to be. I know they've used it again. I can't remember when. Anyway. But
I gotta go. So yeah. Thanks for being here.
We'd love to have you. I'm definitely gonna check it out, honestgamer.com, and your reviews.
Honestgamers with an S. .com. It's took over the old name, so that'll get you nowhere.
Gotcha. Gamers. Got it. Thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Thanks. Have a good one.